Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you looked up in Illinois, at least in most places in Illinois, in the last few days, you would have seen sunshine, but maybe also noticed a slight haziness in the sky. This is coming from the massive, record-breakingly destructive wildfires 2,000 miles away in California. According to the Los Angeles Times, this season of wildfires is the worst ever, with almost 8,000 fires burning 3.5 million acres of land in California, about 3% of the state's area. And while the danger of the wildfires might seem far away, some of our own fellow Illinoisans have been deploying to help fight the fires in California, as well as Colorado. Our next guests have recently returned from missions out west. We are joined now by Chief Warrant Officer Jason Rossi, the pilot in command for the Illinois Army National Guard's CH-47 Chinook helicopter, helped with fighting the California wildfires. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the 21st.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And we also have Tom Gargave, Illinois Department of Natural Resources, Operations Forester, and Acting Fire Manager, who recently led a crew of wildland firefighters at the Pine Gulch Fire in Colorado. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Brian.
And listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation as well. Our lines are open at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have a question for our guests about what it's like to fight the firefighters that most of us have probably only ever seen on the news, be it from the air or from the ground, give us a call, 800-222-9455. The lines are open, 800-222-9455. Of course, you can also always tweet us at 21st show. So, Chief Rossi, I want to begin with you. You were the pilot in command, as I said, for the Illinois National Guard helicopter. Just completed a mission in Northern California during the wildfires. Can you paint a picture for our listeners? What's it like out there? What did you see from your vantage point in the sky?
Well, as we were flying the aircraft out there, it took us 2 days to get there, and as we crossed that. The Rockies coming westbound, it was, you could definitely see the smoke. The visibility was reduced in the area. Our phones were telling us, the air quality is down a lot less. I mean, things that we've never seen on our phones here in Peoria for sure. But, as we got over there, one of the recommendations from some of the California pilots was actually to fly higher altitudes and fly instruments to get above the smoke, because the visibility from time to time can be pretty bad. But we had enough visibility, we could still fly visually, and that's what you need to do when you're flying the bucket around anyway, supporting those firefighters. But it was definitely an eye-opener on what the devastation of those fires can do and what they do to the environment you're flying in.
So yeah, what exactly was your mission out there? I mean, you mentioned a bucket.
Okay, so we fly the CH-47 Chinook helicopter, and that's made by the Boeing Aircraft Corporation. The Army typically uses those to move cargo and personnel around the battlefield, or in this case, fly a 2,000-gallon, what we call a Bambi bucket, that's the brand of it. It's sling-loaded on a long line underneath the helicopter, about 130 feet, and that allows us to dip into a lake gathering up to 2,000 gallons, except it depends on what altitude you're dropping at and everything. We might have to, we had our bucket cinched to 80% just to keep ourselves from lifting too much weight because of all those capabilities. It's a very dynamic environment there where we were based in near Sacramento at, say, 98 feet above sea level. And then we'd fly to a helibase near the fire, which was 500 feet. And that's really not that much of a change. I mean, you'd think with the coastline, everything wouldn't be a big deal. But when we were going to drop, they had a possibility of being at 6,500 feet. So we don't have anything in Illinois near that. So luckily for us, I mean, a lot of our pilots and crew members, we've flown in Afghanistan and Iraq and seen different terrain and trained on that. We actually just got back from our annual training was out in Nevada. And basically, we weren't flying the bucket there, but we were flying troops and stuff around Nevada. Dealing with the mountains and the heat and everything. But the bucket, we can sling load that water, getting direction from the way that Cal Fire does it. They have a helicopter coordinator, and he's sitting next in an airplane next to a aircraft coordinator. So there's aircraft dropping the different, like either water or deterrent.
The red fire retardant. Yeah.
There you go. So the dropping that stuff from fixed wing, they have to clear us out of the area while they're doing that. And then, so we've got the bucket when they call us. I mean, otherwise we sit at the heli base and we wait on standby, but our bucket's, you know, primed, ready to go. Take that out. We dip it in the lake. They tell us where they want it dropped. And again, that's clear of all the ground firefighters and everything. And I mean, it really was rewarding. I mean, I could see the videos I shared with you guys. If you look real close, you can see the firefighters up on the right side of the aircraft on the hill. That's who we were actually supporting in those videos I sent you.
Yeah.
But well, rewarding being able to see who you're supporting.
Yeah. And so I want to get maybe if you guys talking to each other a little later, and I'm going to come back to what it's actually like flying a helicopter with what looks like a swimming pool attached to the bottom of it. But Tom Gargave, you're acting fire manager at the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. You recently led a crew, as I mentioned earlier, to the Pine Gulch fire in Colorado. Can you paint a picture from the ground? What is it like being near or in the middle of one of these wildfires on the ground?
Well, you know, it depends on different days, Brian, what the fire intensity is. Sometimes you go direct right at the fire front. Sometimes you're out ahead of it. Working out ahead of it, so when it gets there, you're prepared. A lot of times we'll do backfiring operations, etc. But when the fire front is right on you, you got to have your head on a swivel. You're paying good attention. Those guys in the air are absolutely wonderful and good for our support, and we can talk about that later. But from the ground operations level, mostly you're looking at what that intensity is, what direction it's burning, and attacking it safely, yet also with vigor and aggressively.
And, you know, just for our listeners who may not be as familiar with wildland firefighting, I mean, I think they're used to seeing local community firefighters putting out building fires. I mean, you're not going into a wildland fire with a hose and water, though, right? So what are you actually doing out there? How is it different from fighting a more, you know, urban fire, for example?
Well, ground crews, really, you know, if you think about a campfire, you know, you can't stand any closer to a campfire than 2 or 3 feet. So once that fire gets up, you know, above your head, you're backing up and you're waiting for those guys in the air to cool it down for you. But that low, slow backing fire or that advancing fire can turn larger. So when it gets smaller, you go right at it. And that involves digging trenches, cutting some line in. We do set up pumps and hoses. We'll pump out of a creek or a beaver pond or anything we can find, or even off of an engine, and we'll run hoses and lines right through the woods and spray water on it. That's fairly common. Mostly we're digging line, though, or scratching line in with chainsaws ahead of that fire, not direct, but ahead of that fire or the fire's, you know, advancing and coming. And then we're relying on some of those air operations to cool it down and to slow it down so that we can continue with that ground operation.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with two Illinoisans who recently returned from missions fighting wildfires out west. We're speaking with Chief Jason Rossi, a pilot in command for the Illinois Army National Guard's Chinook helicopter that helped with fighting the California wildfires, as well as Tom Gargave, Illinois Department of Natural Resources operations forester and acting fire manager who recently led a wildland firefighting crew at the Pine Gulch Fire in Colorado. As ever, we invite you to join our conversation. The lines are open, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have a question for our guests about fighting wildfires, 800-222-9455. So, Chief Rossi, I want to ask you, for you're flying a Chinook helicopter. Listeners might not be familiar with that by name, but they've probably seen one, at least on TV, if not in real life. Can you describe it and what it's like flying one, both in, you know, ordinary circumstances and with, as I said earlier, maybe like a swimming pool attached to the bottom?
Well, it's it is similar to a swimming pool in it per se, but it's got a valve at the bottom that they can electronically control from the back of the helicopter. And I've got my two pilots up front. If you can think of this as kind of like a flying school bus, and that's what a lot of the other helicopters will give us grief about. They say we look like a school bus flying around, but.
And this has the twin rotors, right? The rotor on the
twin rotors on top. And, but if you want to move a bunch of people and get them somewhere real quick, you use a Chinook helicopter, and that's the way the Army does it. But as far as the crew on board, I've got two pilots, and in this mission, I had two flight engineers, and those are my eyes and ears in the back of the helicopter. And I'm flying the helicopter with my other pilot, but anything behind me, I have to rely on them. I mean, you think about trying to back a school bus into a parking spot or something like that. You listen to the guy in the back that can see much better than you can. And then we also took two maintainers with us that unfortunately they didn't get to fly along on the missions, but they were back at the base and helping get the aircraft ready, clean it up at the end of the day and get it ready for the next mission. The Chinook though, like I said, we move people and stuff where we need to go. You're going to see those when we launched a couple years ago, 2011, we went out to Hurricane Irene in Vermont. So we were doing moving pallets full of food, water, blankets, and you drop those off in a field and then come back an hour and a half later and it's all gone. I mean, you can really see that the people need that stuff. And we also did a couple other flooding missions here in Illinois that year and also up in Sioux City, Iowa. But it's one of those weird ones where it always seems to happen on Labor Day weekend. And I was telling our public affairs guy about it. And I mean, so one Labor Day weekend, we were getting maple syrup in Vermont. And then this Labor Day weekend, we were getting In-N-Out Burger in California. So it really just depends on where they decide to send us.
So Tom, I want to ask you about wildland firefighting in Illinois. I don't think this is something that's, among the many natural disasters that Illinoisans are subject to, flooding, tornadoes. People don't think of wildfires, maybe at least not in central and northern Illinois, but why does Illinois have wildland fighting people, wildfire crews, I should say?
Yeah, good question, Brian. Each state assists the U.S. Forest Service as well as the Park Service and Department of Interior and Bureau of Indian Affairs and Fish and Wildlife Service. And each state assists those agencies, those federal agencies, with a fire program. And Illinois has a wildland fire program that we have selected a unique group of guys that have trained and girls that have trained for this and they're ready to go. We've had this program since around 2000, and we've provided crews and personnel out there each year since then, or since that time period, to help serve and protect our national forests. It is unique to Illinois. A lot of folks don't know we exist even, but we do send 20-man crews out every year.
And do you, I'm curious then now about the coordination between air and ground support. I mean, you look at this, and I got to thank Chief Rassi and the National Guard. You shared some photos and video. We're going to post those at our website, 21stshow.org. It's really a unique perspective to see from the inside of the Chinook as one of these buckets is being emptied, both the aircraft in front of yours as well as then pointing down. That's not a perspective we get to see very often. But in some ways, it looks like, trying to put out a bonfire with a Dixie cup. And so what, I guess, Tom, I'll start with you. From the ground perspective, is there good coordination between the ground crews and the air crews? And what are they doing to support you?
There is. Absolutely. I have called in those helicopters before on our air attack frequency. And Chief, we're real glad to have you when I'm on the ground looking up. I've called them in and we'll give them the coordinates. We'll use a clock face to bring them in. Depending on the size of the fire, each fire is rated. So as you get into a larger incident, it might be a type 2 or a type 1 incident. That means it's a large fire with many, many resources. The smaller fires that get into 3, 4, and 5 type incidents, they may have a Chinook or an Apache come by and drop a couple of buckets. And those guys are working multiple events, multiple fires. So they're dumping water and moving on to the next fire. And in between their fuel cycle, they may not be back to you. So you rely on those guys to make a good hit. We'll make on the ground, I'll put flagging out, or I have an orange ribbon, I'll lay it out, and I'll be speaking with the guys up in air attack, and they're looking down at me, and I'm giving them clock face signals to where to go ahead and dump.
And that allows 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, that's what you mean, right? Like when you say clock
face
signals. Correct, yes. Yeah.
Yep. And they're real good about it. Some of them are better than others, I'll be quite frank, but any water, when you're down there and 300 gallons of water is dumped right next to you, you're glad to have it. And I've been sprayed before, and that's my own fault for not getting out of there. But we want to make accurate drops, and for the most part, they are wonderful.
Well, Chief Rassi, just a couple of minutes left in our conversation, but I'm curious from your perspective in the air, how challenging is it to hit your mark? And, I mean, I guess once the water's being released, you're not even really looking down, right? Helicopters, you're looking ahead.
No, like I said, I can't see it from the front. I can only see where we're going. And, I mean, I could see that aircraft in front from that video. So, I mean, you get a perspective of where we need to go. And that was multiple drops in the same location. And those firefighters had requested that, like he was saying, through the air attack frequency. But that helicopter coordinator up in the other aircraft, you know, he's coordinating. You've got, us talking to each other. You've got us. We have the way that Cal Fire ran it, we had a military helicopter manager on board, and he's a firefighter. Basically, he can talk the lingo when it gets into the specifics. And I mean, they were giving us not only clock positions, but they might give us the head, the shoulder, just basically as much specifics as they can. The one thing they wanted to stress to us, you're supporting the firefighter. You're not going to, you know, like we said, we're not going to put the fire out. It's too big. You know, it looks like an eyedropper but you're protecting those firefighters so they can do their job using bulldozers, using chainsaws, like he was saying. But the one thing that they told us, like, you know, you're going to have a lot of times that they're going to say that was a perfect drop in the wrong spot. But the point is, you got the water on site, and it's keeping that from, you know, you're supporting them and doing what you need to, and okay, come back and get it in a different spot next time. But we were, I mean, especially for guys coming from Illinois, we don't have that terrain that we normally deal with. So when we're training, we have a local lake that, you know, that we're allowed to take the water out of and then put the water back in the lake. That doesn't really allow me. I don't have a terrain feature to play on. So that was one of the things when we got there.
You know, I'm gonna ask you to pause. If you can stick around for just another minute or two, we do have a caller on the line with a good question. Caller, hold on. We need to take a quick break for our member stations. We're speaking with two Illinoisans, a helicopter pilot, a wildland firefighter who've been assisting out west. We're going to talk more after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking about the California and Colorado wildfires that have been in the news so much recently, but we're talking about it from the perspective of two Illinoisans who have been out helping fight those fires. Chief Warrant Officer 4, Jason Rassi, was the pilot in command for the Illinois Army National Guard's Chinook helicopter that helped fighting the California wildfires, and Tom Gargave is Illinois Department of Natural Resources operations forester and acting fire manager who led a crew of firefighters at the Pine Gulch fire in Colorado. And we have a caller on the line, Steve in DeKalb. Welcome to the 21st. What's your question?
Yes, my question relates to forest management. The experts have been suggesting that in order to limit the huge fires, that prescribed burns are useful in limiting the fuel to keep wildfires from getting out of control. My question is, how do you keep prescribed burns under control, keep them from getting out of control, and have does the encroachment of people living in wild areas present a particular problem for that?
Yeah. All right, Steve, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate the question. Tom, I think that's probably more for you than our National Guard helicopter pilot. So how do you keep prescribed burns under control and from turning into fire events in and of themselves?
Well, yeah, we do have a prescribed fire management program in Illinois, and all the states do. And it's a very good question. We take a lot of time in preparing ahead of time. We'll do dozer lines and mowing and cutting lines in and using natural barriers of roads and creeks and terrain to try to burn that off. It is impossible, though, to burn or to do prescribed burn, enough prescribed burning to stay ahead of this. He's right. There are people that have moved into these areas 100 years ago. You know, not that many houses were out there. Now we have this large urban interface in our forests, and so we are seeing some issues in that regard. nationally speaking, I think that we have a long way to go with our prescribed burn fire program. It is intense. It takes a long time, and there's quite a liability, right? You're lighting thousands of acres on fire, and you're doing that. This isn't a natural event. So you know, there's quite a bit to think about once you're burning off huge acres of fire, and you do need some skill set there, and it takes quite a few dollars to do that. So we're not over the hump yet. A little bit of forest management would be good, and bring some of our markets back so that we can sell some of those products out of the forest as we thin it. Those are all wonderful things. And fire-wise, where some of these communities that live in the forest need to prepare their homes a little bit so we have some defendable space and not have to call Chief Rassi in so that we need that airdrop help when the time comes.
All right. I think we're going to have to leave it there. This has been a really interesting conversation. I want to thank both of you for taking time out of your day to be with us today. Tom Gargave is acting fire manager and an operations forester for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. And Jason Rassi is a chief warrant officer and was pilot in command for the Army National Guard's Chinook helicopter that helped with fighting the California wildfires. Thank you both so much again for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.